With me in God's holy word to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, and we will read verses 11 through 14. Our text this morning again is one phrase in verse 11. We are looking at these final commands, exhortations, encouragements. These are the applications of all that we have seen. And today, our text is live in peace. And so please stand with me as we hear the Word of God read. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, beginning in verse 11. Finally, brethren, rejoice, be made complete, be comforted, be like-minded, live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints greet you. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. You may be seated, please. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, you are the Prince of Peace. O living God, you are the God who is the God of peace, and your gospel is a gospel of peace. And we beg that you would come and that you would give us great joy this day as your little children washed in your blood to know you anew and afresh, the God of peace, and that you would give us peace with you and peace with one another. For the praise of your name, that it would grow, and that, Lord, we would see your mighty hand establishing your peace for the praise of your name. In Jesus we pray, amen. Coexist. Let's get with it, folks. I don't see very many bumper stickers in the parking lot. What's wrong? Everybody knows that all of these religions really are the same thing. We ought to just all coexist. Well, that's the message of our culture. That's the version of peace that our culture is putting forth. The Bible does have a lot to say about peace, but the coexist version of peace is a counterfeit. It's a perversion that Satan would seek to put forth and to sell. It's not real. It's an illusion. It cannot deliver. But God's peace, it is real. It is well-being. It is contentment. It is the absence of war. God's kind of peace. Oh, what a sweet blessing to have harmony, to have oneness. And so that's what we look at today now. The Apostle Paul bringing his letter to these Christians that he loves so to a close. He has a string of exhortations, of calls to action. And the one that we're going to look at today, we've looked at how we as God's people need to be rejoicing together. We as God's people need to be aiming for restoration, seeking to help one another. We as God's people need to be comforted and comforting one another and those around us in the name of Jesus Christ. We as God's people need to be like-minded, and we need to be growing to have the mind of Christ and helping others to have God's perspective on who He is and what this world is all about, and what the gospel is, and what is right and wrong, and who the only Savior is, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Today, live in peace. Well, what is peace? We could describe it in many different ways. A state of concord, a state of harmony, of well-being, of contentment, of rest, of sign. All is well. It's the opposite of war. And we're going to look at many aspects of this. The Old Testament word that is the correlative of our word here is the Hebrew word that I'm sure you're familiar with, shalom. And this whole matter of peace, oh, what a sweet thing it is to think of, to have, and to share. And so, first of all, we can only live in peace. We can only experience these things if we know peace with God through Jesus Christ. The only source of peace is Almighty God. There are a number of passages that we could look at together, but let's just look at a few. And I'm going to try to really not go down any rabbit trails today because we have so many goodies to look at. First of all, God identifies himself in many places in the Bible as the God of peace. For example, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20. We can't live in peace unless we know and belong to and are reconciled with the God who alone is the source of peace. And the God of peace identifies himself in a number of places in Holy Scripture. Notice Hebrews 13, verse 20. Now the God of peace, who brought up from the dead that great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the eternal covenant, even Jesus our Lord. And so the God of the Bible identifies himself as the God of peace. The God of peace. The gospel is described as the gospel of peace. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. God is the only source of peace. He's the God of peace. His gospel is the gospel of peace. And here we see in Ephesians chapter 2, this whole chapter focuses on here's what our condition was, and here's what God has done to rescue us and give us life. Our condition was we were dead toward God. Our condition was that we were lost in our trespasses. We lived according to the evil one. We were sons of disobedience. But God has done an amazing work in verse 12. But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together in Christ, or with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, in order that in the ages to come he might show the surpassing riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Therefore, remember. And so he says, now I want you Gentile Christians to remember what you were before this great work of God took place. Therefore, remember that you formerly, the Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by the so-called circumcision, which is performed in the flesh by human hands. Remember that you were at that time separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. And so what were we? Look at verse 12. We were separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers to the covenants of promise, and we had no hope, and we were without God in the world. But now, verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, you who formerly were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. People who used to be estranged from God, alienated from God, didn't have any part of being a part of God's people. We who used to be without hope and without God in the world, God has brought us near by the blood of Christ, the blood of Jesus. Verse 14, for He Himself is our peace, who made both groups into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall by abolishing in His flesh the enmity, which is the law of commandments, contained in ordinances, that in Himself He might make the two into one new man, thus establishing peace, and might reconcile them both in one body to God through the cross, by having put to death the enmity. And He came and preached peace to you who are far away, and peace to those who are near. For through Him we both have our access in one Spirit to the Father. So, God describes how this change took place. That we once were at war with God, sons of disobedience, living, shaking our fist against God. Why now are we no longer at war with God, but now have peace with God? Well, it's only because of Jesus. It's only because the triune God of the Bible came. Jesus came by His Holy Spirit and preached peace to our hearts. He came and He preached the gospel of peace. He came and He convicted our hearts that we are creatures made by Almighty God. He convinced us that we have broken all of God's commandments and that we're fallen in Adam. And He convinced us not only of our need, but that He is the Savior. And that He came and through His death upon the cross, through His sacrifice of Himself, we can be and are reconciled to the living God. That the war is over. The second you believe in Jesus Christ, God declares us right with Him. You remember the thief on the cross? He had lived quite a life of rebellion and war against God and his fellow man. We don't know the details. But he confessed, I'm getting what I deserve. I'm not getting anything but what I deserve. And you are too, fellow thief. Lay off this guy in the middle because he hadn't done anything wrong. But we're getting what we deserve. And then he turned to Jesus and he said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And you remember that amazing declaration of the Lord Jesus. You got three men dying. One of them has a change of heart. Both those thieves were ridiculing and scoffing and mocking, joining in with the Pharisees, saying, yeah, if you're really the Christ, come down from that tree. And then this amazing change takes place in one of those thieves. And he tells his other thief, he says, lay off it. Be quiet. Don't say that anymore. We're getting what we deserve. This man's done nothing. And then he confesses to Jesus, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus tells him these amazing words. Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. This very day, you will be with me in paradise. And so that's the culmination of peace. Heaven. Where all of the horrors of living in a fallen world, being alienated from God, being separated from God. You remember Adam and Eve when they rebelled against the living God. Everything begins to come unraveled. They no longer are friends with God, and they hear God walking like He would come in the cool of the day to talk with them. But instead of running out to embrace Him and to rejoice in Him, they run and hide because they're estranged from God. And they no longer have peace, not with God, and now not with one another. And you remember what happened when Adam rebelled and Eve rebelled and they ate of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Indeed, their eyes were opened and they become self-centered. They become those who are consumed with self. They sewed fig leaves together for self, for a covering. Forget about anybody else. Now the world revolves around me. That's the heart of this war. But when God comes in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and preaches the gospel of peace, we are delivered from that nightmare. And God establishes peace between us and Himself through the death of His own Son as our substitute. Jesus comes and takes upon Himself the blow that we deserve, so that we could go free, so that we would be forgiven, so that we would be adopted into His family. And so Jesus is the source of peace. And Jesus comes and He's the one who preaches peace to our hearts. He calls us to lay down the war against God. And if you're a Christian, if you're a real Christian, if you are somebody who loves Jesus Christ, you have laid down your war against God, and you've said, I don't want to live against God. I don't want to live for myself. I don't want to rely upon myself. I don't want to think and judge for myself what's right and what's wrong. I look to You, Almighty God, as my Creator, to tell me all of those things, and I'm trusting in Your Son to make me right. I'm trusting in Your perfect sacrifice upon the cross, Lord Jesus, to pay what I owe. I'm trusting in Your perfect obedience, Lord Jesus, to be my righteous robe. Your blood makes me clean, and Your perfect obedience covers me, so that when the Father looks at me now, He doesn't see all of my sin and filth, but He sees the beauty of Jesus Christ. That's the gospel of peace. And turn with me to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter. So Jesus comes and preaches peace to our hearts. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so the source of peace is Jesus Christ and His redeeming work. If we have been justified by faith, the second you believe in Jesus, like the thief on the cross, God justifies us and we have peace with God through Jesus. And there is nothing sweeter in the universe than for a sinner to be reconciled to God. Oh, how sweet it is to be reconciled with God and to have peace with God. Everything is well between us and God now. Everything is right between us and God. And as God's little children, we want to grow to experience that more and more and more. And so then that brings us to the second thing we want to look at today. We've seen that Jesus is the source of peace, that the God of peace, the gospel of peace, and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ restoring us in His saving work. That's the source of peace. But now, secondly, I want us to think about how that this peace is to be lived out. This peace is to be experienced in our everyday lives. And that's what our command here in 2 Corinthians 13 is dealing with. Live in peace. I want you to turn with me to Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9. And I want you to think with me in terms of now the various spheres of your life. Okay? Arenas of life. You have your own individual life. You have a family. You have the arena of the church. And you have the arena of civil government. And so those are the arenas of life that we're just going to touch on this morning as we think about the call of Almighty God in the gospel of Jesus Christ. King Jesus calls upon us, His reconciled little children, to learn more and more how to enjoy and experience living together in peace. And so look at Isaiah chapter 9, verse 1. But there will be no more gloom for her who was in anguish. In earlier times, he treated the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali with contempt. Now, if we had time, we'd go over to the Gospels of Matthew and Luke, and we would see how the Lord quotes this passage of Scripture at the beginning of Jesus' ministry in Galilee. He had been in Jerusalem for about a year, and he comes back to Galilee, and after John the Baptist had been arrested, he begins his public ministry, and he made his debut there, Galilee, this region that even in the days of Isaiah was viewed as sort of the backwater area of Israel. It was an area where if people said they were from Galilee, they'd say, oh yeah, he's from Galilee. You know, people from Galilee, they're not much. And I'm not going to give any modern day examples. You all know, you can think, you know, about some region or community that when you were growing up or even now, that if you hear somebody's from there, you go, oh yeah, I know about people from there. We're not going to go there. But that's how Galilee was. It was a region where there were a lot of people who were not Israelites had come and intermarried. And these people were just kind of viewed as nobodies. And the gospel, look, God loves to do that. He loves to come and take nobodies and make us trophies of grace to show His glory to the world. And so that's what is being announced here, that God is going to take this region that people say is just the backwaters, it's nothing, and God is going to do an amazing thing, and that from that very region, the Messiah, the Savior of the world, is going to appear. And so verse 2, the people who walk in darkness will see a great light, and those who live in a dark land, the light will shine on them. Thou shalt multiply the nation. Thou shalt increase their gladness. They will be glad in thy presence as with the gladness of harvest. As men rejoice when they divide the spoil, for thou shalt break them with the yoke of their burden and the staff on their shoulders. The rod of their oppressor is at the battle of Midian. For every boot of the booted warrior in the battle tumult and cloak rolled in blood will be for burning, fuel for the fire. And so he says, that there's going to be gladness, verse 3. There's going to be well-being, peace, prosperity, verse 4. The war is going to be over, verse 5. Every boot of the booted warrior and the cloak rolled in blood will be for burning, fuel for the fire. Somebody's going to come and bring peace instead of there being discord and sorrow and strife and destruction. There's going to be peace. Who's going to bring it? Jesus Christ, the Son of God, come in the flesh. Verse 6, for a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And so here is names. Wonderful. He's the one that you remember appeared to Samson's parents. And Samson's dad said, tell me your name. And he says, why do you want to know my name? Because it is wonderful. God's name is so magnificent. His name, who God actually is, that if God didn't tell us, we could never know. But God has revealed Himself. God tells us who He is. He's made Himself known to us. And it focuses all in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who came to rescue us. He's the Counselor. Have you ever found yourself going, I just don't know what to think. I don't know what to do. How do I deal with this? Jesus is the Counselor. He always knows the answer. He always knows what to do. He's got a plan for history. He is the Mighty God. In Hebrew, I love this name. We don't have time. It's a rabbit trail, so can't do it. But it means a mighty warrior who's come to save. Oh, He's the one who has the power to come. You know, we see a lot of things that we'd like to see somebody do something about this. Jesus has the power to come and rescue me. He has the power to come and rescue you. He has the power to fix what is all out of whack in your home or in this society or the other nations of the world. He's the mighty God. He has the power to protect us, to hold on to us. He has the power to deliver all of His promises. And He will, in His own good time, every promise He's ever made. Mighty God. He's the everlasting Father. The Lord Jesus Christ, He is so kind and gentle. He takes us as His own little children. And He cares for us, just like a father cares for his little children. What a glorious Savior. But the last of these, Prince of Peace. Prince of Peace. And so verse 7, there will be no end to the increase of His government or of peace. There will be no end. And it would be wonderful enough if this verse just said there will be no end to His government or peace. That would be thrilling, wouldn't it? But that's not what the verse says. It says much more than that. Look at it again, verse 7. There will be no end to the increase of His government or of peace. There will be no end to the increase. And so this glorious Savior, the Prince of Peace, the one who comes and preaches peace, He's at work in this fallen world. And He is spreading His gospel of peace so that people would be reconciled with God. And as we come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, we're also reconciled with one another. Now, we're going to stop there today. And I know I'm leaving you hanging because we have just sort of introduced the experience of living at peace. And we're going to go through and look at some examples in Scripture next Lord's Day, Lord willing, about this incredible blessing that God gives to us as His people to experience peace. We're going to close. No, I'm not going to do it. Do you have peace? Do you have peace with God? Has the blood of Jesus washed you clean? If so, you know what? Who gets praise? If you have peace with God, who gets praise? He came and preached peace to our hearts. May the Lord renew our hearts as we close this day to give thanks to God for the peace we have in Jesus Christ because it came at an incredible price. It came at an incredible price. You know, it's easy for us to talk about the blood of Jesus. It's easy for us to think about and sing about how Jesus died on the cross. But think about that. Jesus took the hell that I deserve, that you deserve, child of God, upon Himself. And He was willing to suffer so that we could have peace, so that we would be forgiven, so that we would be justified, so that we would be adopted into God's family. And God owns us now as His sons and daughters in Christ Jesus. And forever and ever we will have the privilege of worshiping and adoring and praising the one true living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. As we're going to see next Lord's Day, Lord willing, the Lord Jesus comes and He gives us peace in our hearts. And He gives peace to us in our homes. And He gives us peace in the church. And He gives us peace in civil government to those who know the Prince of Peace. He gives peace between the nations of the world as they come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And Scripture tells us that is what God is at work doing. He is at work dealing with the war against Him and establishing His kind of peace. And so you see, I began today talking about how these bumper stickers coexist. It's a lie of Satan. Almighty God will not allow that kind of so-called peace to exist. Because the Son of God has come and stepped forth into human history and has said, no, this world and everything in it belongs to Almighty God. And Jesus has come to reclaim this world for God's praise. Jesus has come as the Prince of Peace to establish peace between rebels and God, by converting them, and those who refuse to embrace Jesus, He takes out of the way. Those institutions that refuse to live at peace with Jesus, He will remove, and He will replace. He will do this great work, because He is the Prince of Peace. Almighty God is going to have people who love Him. Almighty God is at work establishing homes where there's peace. Almighty God is at work causing His people to be one together and experience peace. Almighty God is at work causing the nations of the world to realize, oh, we need Jesus so that we can have peace, so that we can have real oneness. Now, years ago, there was a man who said it was his concern. This is back in the 1880s. It was his concern that if the United States of America continued on its course of unbelief, and this was in the 1880s, he feared that the role of the United States of America in the history of the world might be that of a scarecrow to scare the other nations as they saw what happens to a nation that turns away from Jesus so that they would not follow in this path of destruction and war against Almighty God. And that's true. For individuals, it's true for families, it's true for churches, it's true for every institution in this land. You're either going to be used of God as a scarecrow. Here's what happens to people. Here's what happens to families. Here's what happens to churches. Here's what happens to nations that think they can have coexistence in rebellion against Almighty God and all be well. It's a lie. We need Jesus, the Prince of Peace, so that we can have real peace in our hearts and real peace in our homes and real peace in the church and real peace in the institutions of this land and our nation, civil government. Be an instrument of blessing and peace. That's the design of Almighty God. And so do you have peace? And do you understand that Jesus is the source of peace for everything else? Do you understand how against what our culture says what we are looking at is? But understand that Jesus is the only one. He's the only one who can give us peace. And that's what He offers us this day. And if you have it, oh, what a humbling but sweet thing it is to have peace with God. And that's what we want to grow in. We want to grow to experience His peace more and better with one another. Live in peace. It's all about Jesus. Let's pray. Father, if there be any in this place who are apart from You and do not have peace with You through the blood of Jesus Christ, Lord, impress upon them that they are going to be a scarecrow if they continue down this path of unbelief. And that, Lord, they would run to You and beg that You would cleanse them. And, Lord, how we thank You that You will turn no one away. That if we come from the heart crying out to You for forgiveness, if we come to You, Lord, laying down our futile war against You and saying, Lord, I want to be close to You. I want to be right with You in Jesus Christ, the Lamb, who gave Himself upon the cross. Lord, You will forgive like You did that thief on the cross. Lord, how we thank You for the gospel of peace. How we thank You for Your saving power. How we thank You that You are the God of peace. And that Lord Jesus, are the Prince of Peace. And Lord, we rejoice to be Yours. And we beg that we might grow more and more to experience peace. One with You and one with another. Lord God, please grow us to experience peace in You, Lord Jesus, more and more. And we ask, O Lord, that You would awaken the people of our land and the other nations of the world to see that only You, Lord Jesus, can give us peace. It's in Christ the Lord we pray. Amen.